Let's talk to him right now. New Celtics head coach joining us for the first time on Zolak and Bertrand. It's Hardy in for Mark Bertrand today. Scott Zolak, Tim McCone here. Ime Udoka joining us now. Thanks for being on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me.
Did Brad Stevens warn you about us clowns at all?
He told me, he prepped me a little bit, but it's all good. So I look forward to having fun.
Well, first things first, there has been a lot of debate as the pronunciation of your last name.
And mispronunciations.
Well, yes. I've been going with Udoka, but Udoka seems appropriate. And do you prefer Ime, coach? Well, what would you? How should we address you?
It is Udoka, instead of Udoka, yep. But I've heard it my whole life, so I'm almost used to the other way. But Ime is fine. No big deal.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Great. So I want to go back to the conversation. You had a long conversation everybody talks about with Wick. And I think whenever we do something in life, there's that one point where, boom, okay, I know this gig is mine. What point during that conversation, and you know they wanted you because you're in being interviewed, but did you know I'm going to be the next head coach of the Boston Celtics? What's the kicker?
Well, as I mentioned with the conversations with Brad over Zoom, you know, we kind of hit it off pretty easily, pretty early. When they decided to fly down to New York, you know, we had the game against Milwaukee the night before. So they said, regardless of outcome, win or loss, you know, you'll either have a day off because you'll be prepping for the next series or you'll be done for the season. So they wanted to come down. And obviously that showed a ton of interest with them flying down with Wick and Steve. But during the conversation, it was evident pretty early that they thought the similar way that Brad did, of course, and was in alignment with the way I thought. And it was a very comfortable conversation. As Wick mentioned yesterday, the time flew by. You know, we wanted to sit there and talk more, but they had a schedule to follow and stay on. And like I said, I've had enough interviews over the years to know if the vibe is going right and heading in the right direction. I felt that pretty immediate.
Wick says that sometimes he'll talk to somebody for 5-10 minutes and he's good with it. And you guys talked for hours. I mean, but what did the conversation range in? Was it mostly about basketball? Did you talk about other stuff too?
It was actually less about basketball than anything else. I mean, I touched base with Brad, like I mentioned, those two calls, and we kind of went over all those details. It was more about getting to know you personally. I think, you know, checking off on the person Brad said I was, and they trusted him as far as the basketball part and some of our conversations. So it was more about getting to know me as a person. And like I said, they're great. I felt their passion immediately, and they felt the same thing for me. So it was more about getting to know each other than anything.
In your press conference yesterday, you mentioned Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown specifically as pillars of the team. Do you think Marcus Smart is another pillar on this team?
Yeah, I mean, I spent time with all three of those guys. And as I mentioned yesterday, they all bring something different to the team. And what Marcus brings is invaluable. It's the heart and soul of the team at times. I mentioned him with the select team going against the U.S. national team years ago, and he was the only guy that really wasn't scared out there. And, you know, we got a bunch of future NBA all-stars and all-NBA guys, and they were a little timid at times, but Marcus was a very vocal leader. You know, he has that edge and toughness about him. So the things he brings to your team are the things you love every player to bring. You hate playing against them, but you want them on your side. And so he's another foundational piece. He's been here through thick and thin, seen the winning and seen some down times. And so what he does for Jason and Jaylen is invaluable in my eyes.
You know, Coach, we've seen this team over the years. You know, these three guys we've talked about, sprinkling another player or two, and it's sort of not to say they're caught in this vortex, but you're close, but you're not there. And, you know, you've coached against them. You've seen them. You brought up the assist ranking. You said you want to get a little more dog out in these guys. Is there anything else you see that that, boy, this is the one thing that I want to change the second I get the team together and we get at it here? Is there anything else?
Well, I would say defensively they had some slippage last year, just defending the three-point line specifically and some other actions. You know, if you take Marcus and you put him in, insert him in the lineup, but depending on who else we sign, you have a team that could disrupt in a lot of ways with like-sized players, or Marcus being a little shorter, but obviously has tenacity defensively. So there are a lot of ways to disrupt. I think we can be a better defensive team. And, you know, playing them against Brooklyn this past year, we knew who not to go at and who to try to pick on. And Marcus, Jason, and if Jaylen was there, those are obviously guys you're not trying to go at. So I feel we have tough, hard-nosed defenders. The scoring is there. As I mentioned, even with the lower assist numbers, we're still a top-10 offense. And so just a matter of getting back to where we were 2-3 years ago defensively.
Ime Udoka is with us right now, new head coach of the Boston Celtics. I'm glad you just mentioned Brooklyn and Marcus Smart, maybe adding a player, because as currently constituted, this Celtics team, are they good enough to beat Brooklyn in a best of seven?
Well, first off, health plays a big piece. And that, you know, as you saw in our series losing to Milwaukee, James Harden was basically on one leg and Kyrie got hurt. So health is a big piece. And when Jalen wasn't there, it was almost not a fair fight. So we, you know, we had three healthy guys at that time.
Right.
But I also experienced it on the other side with Philadelphia last year. Ben goes down in the bubble. And Ben was basically our matchup for Jason. So once we lost Ben, it was almost not a fair fight on that side. Nobody would really guard Jason. And so health is the main thing. And I feel if everybody's healthy, we have, you know, like I mentioned, the two young guys with Marcus and some of the free agents we hopefully add, as well as the young guys' growth and progression that we talked about yesterday. I feel we're, you know, we can go head-to-head with anybody. And as you've seen this year, it doesn't take a lot. You look at a team like Atlanta, injury, they still had Hunter out. But other guys have stepped up, and obviously Trae Young has taken this game to another level, so it doesn't take a whole lot, some growth, you know, tweaking a few things with the new staff, with myself, I'll do, and so we're not far off at all.
You know, and a guy like Robert Williams, sky's the limit. When he was healthy here and when he had his spots where he played, I mean, he was the most exciting player on the court. How concerning is it to have a player of that age to have that type of injury issues where maybe we've seen it with guys like, you know, Kemba later in his career when you get into your 30s? How tough is that to manage?
Yeah, it's tough more so for his growth and progression. Obviously, the series was different when he was out with the toe against us. It was night and day when he was on the court. Some of the things he did, rim protection and offensive lob threat. But, you know, it's something we don't think is that serious and hopefully he overcomes. He's looking forward to playing with the team and playing for me. I've talked to him quite a bit. I just said welcome, and I'm happy to be on his side now, you know, being on the side of the block shots and alley-oops and some of the things he did to us. So he's invaluable. The things he brings, obviously, different from Al or some of our other bigs. And, you know, he's another guy that needs to take that step. And from the outside perception of who he is, he needs to feel that as well within himself.
Ime, have you and Brad had discussions specific to the dynamic? You know, it's a little different. Brad leaving and having a lot of success as head coach of this team, but he hasn't really left. He's still in the building, and there could be, I guess, some areas where things might get a little sticky as he's the president of basketball ops and technically your boss, former head coach, still there. Have you guys talked about how you're going to work together in terms of day-to-day and the coaching of the team? Has this been a discussion already between you and Brad?
Yeah, we talked about it from day one. And first off, I'd say it's a very unique situation, of course, to be, you know, the head coach still in the building in that capacity now. But it's also very beneficial, you know, somebody I can lean on and talk to about things that he went through over the last 8 years, you know, being hands-on with the guys. But also, he's great at letting me do my thing. And he made that clear from day one. Danny let him do it. And ownership is great as far as that. And I'm going to let you be who you are. And so the things that attracted him to me, he's allowing me to do, and he's there more as a sounding board and somebody that I can obviously go right next door and talk to about certain situations. So I only look at it as a benefit, as, you know, not a threat to me at all, and our conversations have been great alluding to that.
All right, Coach, my last one for you. The Kyrie experience here, the Kyrie Irving experience, I'm sure you're very well aware of it, and Kyrie's return was going to be a big one. There were some things said about the city. Kevin Durant doubled down on some of those, some concerns. You know, just the perception of Boston, you know, from an NBA destination, how much does that concern you? How much do you think, you know, you could potentially help that in the future here moving forward?
Well, I mean, you hear about things all the time, different cities in the NBA. I personally haven't experienced any of that. And, you know, Kyrie was here and gone and the things he said. But first off, I'd say the fan base is obviously passionate as hell, and that's an understatement. You know, they bleed green out here, as well as all the other sports, the Patriots, Bruins, and Red Sox. So you know that coming in, it's going to be a hostile environment for opponents. And so, you know, I take that some of that with a grain of salt, not to downplay anything that Kyrie went through, but in general, I look at it as a positive with our guys. It's a hard place to come in and play, and we embrace that, obviously being on this side. And overall, I've never had a problem. Something like you said, I think with the social injustice, initiatives that our team is at the forefront of. We're kind of addressing certain issues and, you know, bonding guys together. And to Jalen and Jason, some of those young guys' credit, they dove right in and tried to mend certain areas. And I commend them. I sure wasn't that savvy at 23 and 25 years old.
Yeah, it's impressive. Yeah. I mean the maturity of some of these guys, and I don't know, you know, what your experience has been so far here with the team, but you knew them beforehand. And we were just talking about Tatum before you joined us here, how remarkably mature and well and poised he is for his age. And that's obviously got to be a big help to you when you...
I was not that at 23.
Yes. Not at all. Yeah. I don't think any of us were, but... to your point, you know, I played in 2006 with the Portland Trailblazers. I played with Brandon Roy, you know, Rookie of the Year, and a lot of similarities with how they go about their business. Very, very professional from day one. But Jason, obviously younger and only played 1 year of college as opposed to Brandon playing four, I see a lot of similarities in their game and their temperament and the way they handle things and kind of internalize things at that age. So he's well mature for his years. I'd say well more mature than most 23 years old, year olds. But in general, he's been great. We've talked a ton already, and he's looking forward to, you know, obviously us getting together in the next week in Las Vegas and getting ready to go to Tokyo. But he's looking forward to the season as well. So this is all new to him, and we'll be together for the next month, and, you know, we'll be bouncing ideas off each other and trying to, you know, form a plan going forward for the season.
That's nice. And these interviews are going to be fun. And I'm just going to let you know, Brad's wife came in and hand-baked us a phenomenal dessert during the Thanksgiving holidays.
Thanksgiving, that was big. Yep. That was great.
She's a very important person, but she also bakes. And I'm sure we're going to have a lot of questions down the road about your wife. And maybe she has some specialty dish that, you know, maybe she let you bring in to us to sort of butter us up. Yeah, so to speak.
Okay, well, she can cook for sure. So I'll keep that in mind.
All right, Coach, welcome to Boston.
Yeah, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. Great to have you here, and looking forward to the upcoming season. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys very much.
All right, Ime Udoka there, your new head coach of the Boston Celtics.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.